Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
Today we begin a brand new journey through the book of Ephesians together. A letter written by Paul, not to correct a problem, as some of his letters are, but to expand your vision. Paul's desire for the believers in Ephesus and for us is that we would understand the incredible life that we've been given in Christ. This book is about identity. It's about who God is, what He's done for us, and who He's making us to be. And that's why we've called this series Made New, the Ephesians Journey. Because from chapter 1 to chapter 6, Paul walks us through everything from blessing to battle. From the high spiritual truths of who we are in Christ to the everyday realities of how we live it out. So let's open this series with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the book of Ephesians. As we begin this series, open our hearts and minds to see what is already true of us in Christ. Let us hear not just with our ears, but with faith, so we might walk in the fullness of your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you can hear from my voice, apologies. Y'all bear with me. I hope you don't struggle to listen any more than I struggle to speak. This is what happens when you go on long hikes in the woods in the cold and rain, which I know your mom told you not to do, which is what she told me not to do, but I did it anyway, just like I probably always did. But bear with me. I know some of you have heard people say that. Everybody's probably heard people answer this way. When someone says, "How are you?" Heard someone go, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed." You may answer that way. There may be some of you in here that you answer that way. One of the things I always wonder, though, is what does the person mean when they say, "I'm blessed"? Because sometimes what I get in my mind is that somebody might be thinking just, well, you know, I'm doing really well right now. Like, things are good. I'm at peace. I'm content. I don't need anything. And so things are good, so I'm blessed. But Paul, in this letter, writes about blessing. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And he means far more than that. He means something much deeper than just how things are going for me and how things are, you know, how my life is moving along at this point. And so my goal is for you, as you leave today, to really be able to, if somebody asked you, "How are you doing?" for you to say, "No, I am blessed." And you know exactly what you mean by that, and it's something very deep about who God is and what He's done for you. And I want you to be able to answer that way, that you're truly blessed today. So we're going to start with that beautiful word, with blessing. And I'm also going to do something different. Many times when I'm preaching to you, I'm telling you something I want you to do. But we're going to talk a lot about some things that have already been done, have just already been done. So the reason that I'm blessed is because of things that have already been done. And so I stand here and you sit there in a position of being blessed because of some things that have already been done. And so I just want you to see this morning how incredibly blessed you are in Christ. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you a few verses. We're going to start with verse 3, where he introduces this word. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." So the first thing I want to talk to you about is blessings planned by the Father. by God who created the world. These are blessings planned by Him, and they were planned by Him in the past, before you or I even existed in this world, before we were born. These are blessings planned by Him. And there's three particular phrases in these scriptures that we're going to look at. The first is that you were chosen, that He chose you, He picked you. In verse 4, it says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Think about it. Before creation, before your first breath, God picked you. Picked you. He knows you. He knows your flaws. He knows your shortcomings. And yet, He picked you. He chose you to be holy, to be set apart, to belong to Him. He picked you for His team. He wanted to be with you. He wants for you to be with Him. And so He picked you. He chose you. And it feels good to be chosen. You know, you're born into a family. They didn't really choose you, and you didn't choose them. You know, it's like there you are in all your glory, whoever you are, right? And you grow up with them. And maybe you grew up with siblings. You didn't choose for those people to be your roommates. They're just, you know, that's who you got. And flaws and all, you and them, whatever. But at some point in your life, you get to do some choosing. And you choose who you partner with, who you live with, who you work with. You make some choices. I want you to know that God, He wasn't stuck with you. He didn't just like, well, God, well, they're part of. No, He chose you. He chose you. Second word He uses is adopted. It says in verse 5 that God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He brought us into His family. Not as servants, not as outsiders, but as children, chosen and cherished. When I got to college, I had to get there a little bit early before college started. And right off the bat, I made fast friends with a guy named Brad. He ended up eventually being my roommate. And we were big buddies. And I had to work to stay in school. And so I ended up a lot of times during the holidays working. And so that first semester, we got Thanksgiving, and I had to work, couldn't go home, and I lived several hours away from college where we went, and he only lived about an hour away, and so he said, well, when you finish work, why don't you just drive down, and you can spend Thanksgiving with us. And so I got down there, and met his family, met his parents, and Brad was a fullback. He was a big old dude, big barrel-chested guy, big huge guy. And his dad was this little old short dude, little pudgy dude, blue eyes and blonde-headed. And Brad was dark-eyed, dark-haired. Well, then I met his mom, and his mom was this tall, elegant lady, dark-haired, dark eyes. And I said to Brad, I said, man, you don't look anything like your dad, but you are the spitting image of your mom. Like, you look exactly like your mom. You ever meet somebody and you go, they can't not claim them, you know? They look so much like their parent. They're like, you know, they can't deny that one belongs to them. And he laughed and he said, people tell me that all the time, how much I look like my mom. He said, I'm adopted. I said, oh, okay, well, you still look like her, you know. He said, I'm adopted, and they had adopted one other son, and then him. And then he ended up with a baby brother that, you know how God does sometimes, He gave them a child. And that one, unfortunately for him, looks like his dad. But Brad said, I was adopted. Brad said, I was abandoned in a New Orleans orphanage, and my parents came and they chose me and they adopted me. And I asked him, you know, a lot of people wonder, like, have you ever looked into who your birth parents were? And he said, no. He said, I'm just one of those, I decided that these are my parents, and so I just never worried about that. And so he looked just like his mom. And her name was Ruth. And so he was adopted. Well, that's the same wording that Paul says about you and I, that God decided, notice, in advance, he decided to adopt you as his child into his family. And so you've been chosen, you've been adopted. And then in verse 6, he said, and he poured out his grace on you. Verse 6, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Not trickled out, not rationed, but lavished on you. The level of love and grace that God has decided to give to you. Let me draw you a picture. When I was growing up, we had plenty to eat. Please don't misunderstand me. But the food was rationed in a way. And what I mean by that is, you know, like, remember, mom would make biscuits. And this was not, you know, there's a can and there's 10 in the can, you know, or 8 in the can. This is just, you know, you mix up your flour and your water and all the stuff, and just how many ever you get, that's how many there are. And there might be 6 biscuits today, there might be 8, there might be, how many ever there were, they were there. Well, in our house, first of all, you had to get something of everything on your plate. That was rule number 1. Secondly, then, you had to clean your plate before you could get seconds. You couldn't get seconds till you cleaned your plate. So this became sort of an Olympic sport for me. And that was, how quickly can I eat? Because there's only 2 extra biscuits. So, you know, and there were 6 of us. So it was like, if you wanted one of those 2 biscuits, you had to be the first to clean your plate so that you could get that biscuit. And that was racing I was racing my dad too. Like, you had to get there first so you could get that. It was rationed. You see what I'm saying? There was only so much. Now, how many of you have ever been on a cruise? Anybody in here ever been on a cruise? Several of you have been on a cruise. All right, so at the cruise, they have this thing called a buffet, right? That is not rationed. It's the opposite of rationed. It's called irrational. That's the opposite of rational. No, if you've never been on one of those, you just get your plate, you get in line, and you just get whatever you want. And there's several. It's not one buffet. In the buffet room, there's several buffets. Here's a buffet with Italian food, and here's one with, you know, Mexican food, and here's one with American food. And you can get in all the lines. You could get Italian and then go back up and get Mexican. That sounds horrible, right? It's irrational. That is not ration. If there are biscuits, you could just get a whole plate full of biscuits. There's no limit. You don't have to eat fast either. You can stay in there for hours. Okay? That is the wording of what he means when he says God's grace has been lavished on you. You don't have to earn it. You don't strive for it. You don't have to be afraid of losing it. You don't have to be afraid there's not enough. You don't have to worry that he's giving so much to some others in this room that there's just a little bit left for you. There is so much that you can't even comprehend, much less just soak up all of the grace that God has given to you. It's just flooded, poured out, lavished on you. Now, these are things that God has done ahead of time. He decided long ago, I'm choosing you, I'm adopting you, and I am going to pour out my grace on you. So, if somebody says, how are you doing? And you say, I'm blessed. That's a different mindset than, you know, what do I have? This is, let me tell you, it's about the one who blessed you. I'm blessed because God decided long ago, despite who I am, despite my flaws, despite my problems, that God has decided that He wants me, the God in heaven, wants me to be on His team, and He has brought me in and adopted me as His own and is just pouring out His grace and His love on me. I'm blessed. Now, those are things planned by the Father. I want to tell you a second set of blessings. These set are purchased by the Son, by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, He says, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son. Now, I call this word redeemed. You've been redeemed. He redeemed you. You are a slave in your sin to your sin. You were born that way. And then, over the course of your life, you and I have made silly choices, terrible choices, rebellious choices, all kinds of things. And it's almost like our sin just has grabbed hold of us, and we are fighting this battle, not just with the world and things around it, fighting a battle with my own self, with my own problems, with my own mindset, with my own attitude, with all of myself and my flaws. I'm fighting that battle. And Jesus Christ came along and said, I see your sin. I see all your flaws. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay the price for all that you've done wrong. I'm going to pay the fine. I'm going to take care of your debt, of what you owe to God, to others, to this world. I'm going to pay the debt for you, and I'm going to pay it with my own blood, and I'm going to shed my blood for you so that you can be just set free from the burden of all that sin. You want to talk about blessed? You've been set free. You've been redeemed. He goes on in verse 7 to say that He's so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He forgave you. He's redeemed you and He forgave you. Not some of your sins, all of them. All of them. Carried them away, erased them. The psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, that He has removed our sins from us. So He's forgiven you. You ever had that feeling that, you know, something went wrong with another person, and maybe even the words were used, I forgave you, I forgive you. But there maybe it seems like sometimes there's still that something in between us, and maybe things will never be the same again. That's not the way it works with God. God has this ability that is beyond what humans can do, where He can literally take your sins and say, there is now nothing hindering our relationship. Nothing between us. I'm able to take it, remove it, forget it, put it aside, so there is no barrier whatsoever between you and I and the relationship I want to have with you, because I love you so much. I don't want there to be anything in the way. And so Jesus Christ gave His life to remove that barrier. So you've been set free from your sin, and been forgiven so that you can have this relationship with the Lord. So much so that He will enlighten you. He will reveal His plan to you. God has a plan, not just for the world. He has a plan for you. A purpose and a plan for your life. And it says in verse 9, He's now revealed to us His mysterious plan. And so, we're not living in the dark anymore. God has shown us His plan to bring everything together and brought it to you. So He's forgiven you. He's enlightened you, revealed to you, forgiven you, redeemed you. That's what Jesus Christ purchased for you. So, if someone says, how are you doing? And you say, I'm blessed. You are blessed for all the things that the Father has planned for you and all the things that Jesus Christ has purchased for you. And then finally, he talks about blessings promised by the Spirit. I could have said the things that the Father has done in the past, the things that Jesus Christ is doing for you right now, and now the Spirit, the things promised in the future by him. Verse 13, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So two things he says he did here. He sealed us. He put his mark on you. He said, you belong to me. You belong to me. And he wanted to make sure that that was marked down. It's like a spiritual notary, sealed. And the way I'm going to seal this deal, I'm going to seal this deal, God said. I want you to be with me for all eternity. I want to have this relationship with you. I planned it from the beginning. I've chosen you. I've adopted you. Now Jesus Christ has removed any barriers. And so I want this relationship to last for all eternity. So I'm going to take this part of me, my spirit, and I'm going to place him in your life. You want to talk about being blessed. You have the Spirit of God walking around with you, inside of you. We come to church for a variety of reasons. And we come here to worship him and to be together and to fellowship. And there are a variety of reasons we come. But we do not come to church because we have to come here to meet with God. He's out there with you. In you. Every day, every moment, within your heart. He will not abandon you. He will not run from you. He will not take off. He is with you. You don't have to. You could leave your phone behind. You know, that's your connection with everybody. You panic if you walk off. And I saw a family. I was on vacation. I saw a family one day, and they were sitting at a table near us. And they got up and left. And in a moment, I saw them rush back in. The mom was leading the parade. And they were frantically looking around the table and everything. They literally, I've never seen anybody do this. They were pulling chairs back. They took the table, moved the table. Like they just moved the table. They were frantic. This woman was, and you could see on her face. And I told Pearline, I said, I don't know what happened, but here's what I'm saying. One of those children have lost their phone. You know, I don't know why we let, you know, 10-year-olds walk around with something that costs $1,500, but they lost that phone, and they're, you know, and this mom, you could see the look on her face, like, oh no, you know, and they're just trying to find, it's our connection, you know, to everything. You know what your connection with God is? You can't leave it behind. He implanted his spirit inside you. You want to talk about being blessed. He said, I sealed it. And then he said, I guaranteed it. Guaranteed it. This is a term used in Greece for an engagement. That there's a marriage that's guaranteed. A wedding is going to happen. We use it here as a term in real estate. When someone places a guarantee or a deposit down for a purchase of a piece of property, a home. For God, it's his first installment in his guaranteed plan to finish his work in you and bring you to glory, to heaven, to be with him. It's a guarantee. We'll talk about blessed. I am going to heaven when I die. I am. How do you know that, Brother Jim? Well, it's not because of anything that I have done. It's not. It's because He chose me. And He adopted me. And His Son died for me. And purchased my forgiveness. And I have decided to follow Him. And to embrace that. And He has placed in me His Spirit as a little taste, a guarantee of what is to come. You ever walk into one of those ice cream shops? This is a brilliant marketing strategy. I love the ice cream shop where they have thousands of little spoons. And they just look at you and go, do you want to try one of these other flavors? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm a plain person. You know, I don't get, when I order a coffee at one of those places and they say, you know, what flavor do you want in it? And I said, I want coffee flavor, right? It's the flavor I want. So you can imagine my ice cream choices. Number one choice, vanilla. Let's just go straight vanilla, you know. But I tell you what I will do. I'll try a few little spoonfuls of some of that other stuff to see how I feel about it. Then I'll order my vanilla. I might change my mind. I might. I would like to try that, though. Do y'all get the samples? The samples are great, you know. I mean, I have a whole Costco membership, and the only reason is so I can walk around and sample things. It's a taste. He says, I know you don't know what heaven is like, but I'm going to give you a taste. And you're going to carry that around with you all the time, that you know what is coming. You know what's coming. You've already tasted it. And you walk around. Listen, let's take a moment and let's let this sink in. Here's what we've seen. You have been chosen and adopted and lavished upon by His grace. By the Father. You have been redeemed and forgiven and enlightened by the Son. And then you've been sealed and secured by the Spirit. And why did God do all this? Well, at the end of the section in verse 6, He says, for His praise. Verse 12, the end of that section, for His praise, the praise of His glory. The end of verse 14, to the praise of His glory. You're not blessed to be comfortable. That's not what it means. I'm so blessed. It's not about being comfortable. You're blessed to bring glory to the One who blessed you. You're blessed to bring glory to the One who blessed you. Because He blessed you way more than you can imagine. He blessed you far beyond anything you deserve. Despite all the things that would prevent it or hold it back, He has poured out His blessing on you. That's what it means to be blessed. So, I will tell you some things to do. In the now acknowledgement that I'm blessed, here's some things you can do. Don't live like you're empty when God says you're full. Don't live like you're empty when God says you're full. Don't live like you're forgotten when God says you're chosen. Don't live like you're forgotten, like you're not important when God says you're chosen. Don't live like you're defeated when God says the victory is secure. Don't live like you're defeated when God says the victory is secure. So we're going to walk through this journey together through Ephesians. And we're going to remember that everything begins and ends with the blessings of Christ. So when someone asks you today, how you doing? You think about it and you say, I'm blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're overwhelmed today by the reminder of how richly you have blessed us. Before the world began, you chose us. In love, you adopted us. Through Jesus, you redeemed us and forgave us. And by your Spirit, you sealed us and guaranteed our eternal future. Thank you for pouring out grace, not in small portions, but freely and lavishly. Grace that covers our past, secures our present, and guarantees our future. Lord, help us to live like people who are truly blessed. Not with pride, but with praise. Not with fear, but with confidence. Not chasing the empty promises of this world, but resting in the fullness of all you've already given in Christ. Let our lives reflect your glory. Let our church be marked by joy, by gratitude, and by faith. And as we continue this journey through Ephesians, shape us more and more into the people you've called us to be. We pray all this in the name of the one who makes it all possible, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.